About Love. Part 4. Pleasure to Affection to Love. Babies are aware of their bodies through which they feel pleasure and pain. A baby naturally identifies the self as the body, since the body is the only thing of which a baby is initially conscious. To express affection for a baby, we provide physical comforts like food, warmth, and rocking. Babies learn that their individual bodies are separate from others. They learn to move and get reactions, gradually discovering that they can cause pain or pleasure to others. As they grow, they develop mental awareness also. They feel emotions, desires, anticipation, dismay, excitement, not necessarily caused by physical sensations. Emotions, like bodily sensations, can feel pleasurable or painful. Children feel emotional pleasure and pain as well as physical. Just as a baby identified the self as the body, the source of physical pleasure and pain, a child now identifies the self as the body plus the mind, emotions, and desires. Just as physical pleasure and pain drive behavior throughout life, emotions also drive behavior throughout life much more strongly than most people realize. Adults often mask their motives with rationality, but most of our decisions are based on an underlying emotion or affection or disaffection. Emotion moves us to act. Affection is mental pleasure. It is pleasant for everyone around. Affection mitigates pains and difficulties in life. It even feels good to be in the company of people and animals who are feeling affection. It is said that enlightened sages of ancient times could look at their wives with such affection that they became pregnant. We follow our affections for food, for beautiful sights and sounds, for enjoyable experiences, and for people we like. Affection is our second step toward love. We can give and receive affection. Affection can be quantified and compared. We like one food more than another, one song more than another, one person more than another. We gauge how much someone likes us by how much affection they bestow on us. There are countless ways to express affection. All mammals express affection, especially for their young. There is something natural and biological about affection for family members. Although we identify our individual selves with our individual bodies and minds, our sense of identification often extends to family members. We instinctively feed them, protect them, care for their needs. As we grow older, we also start to identify with other groups, regional, cultural, ideological. Each broader group with which we identify extends our scope of affection. Our sense of identity gradually softens and expands as we discover commonality, unity, with more people. We may even feel greater kinship with friends than with family. As a child's intellect develops, thoughts, ideas, and reasoning provide another source of pleasure and pain. When we learn that 2 plus 2 equals exactly 4, the accuracy and precision are intellectually pleasurable. When we learn to observe, make connections between bits of information, and draw logical conclusions, the process is intellectually pleasurable. An error in thought process is painful to the intellect. We can appreciate and enjoy a beautiful, abstract idea, just as we appreciate and enjoy physical beauty. Our enjoyment can be regarded as intellectual pleasure, and we could say we have intellectual affection for beautiful, noble, just ideas. With intellect, we can evaluate ideas, activities, and people according to facts and reason, rather than according to the biases of physical and emotional ties to family or culture. Using our intellect in this way has helped humanity rise from purely tribal behavior, in which people's identity and loyalty is based primarily on tribal membership, to more civil and humane societies that are more understanding and tolerant. Translations and universal languages like music and pictures allow us to communicate with many different people and ideas. We find commonality with people we wouldn't have met or accepted previously. We feel unity in more ways with more people who aren't as different as we imagined. Using our intellect properly thus allows us to expand. Affection and commonality, supported by truth and reason, is our third step toward love. As intellect develops, we naturally start to identify the self with the intellect, with our thoughts and opinions, in addition to the body, emotions, and desires with which a young child identifies. Some people become so identified with their opinions that they feel they themselves are attacked when someone disagrees with their ideas. Some even become physically violent, even though opinions are not physical. With our intellect, we imagine ideals and endeavor to make them manifest in our physical world. We play with ideas, imagine scenarios, modify our plans. Ideas are abstract, non-material. When we identify with the intellect, we start to realize that we are non-physical. We are conscious of things that are not physical. We need a brain to communicate with one another, but our consciousness can drift and still be aware. This non-physical being that we really are is often called the soul. The more we pay attention to our awareness as a being, rather than as a body, mind, or intellect, the more we come to identify the self as the soul. When we identify ourself as the body, physical unity with another living person is impossible. When we identify the self as our mind and emotions, although we might share similar feelings with someone, mental unity is not possible. When we identify the self as the intellect, even with many similar thoughts and ideals, intellectual unity is not possible. Sensations, emotions, and thoughts are tied to the physical body. Thus, if we think we are the body or mind, we cannot experience unity with another person. Bodies are separate, and so are their associated emotions and thoughts. Only when we identify ourselves as the non-physical soul can we experience oneness, love. Love does not mean that we have identical bodies, minds, or thoughts with someone else, or that we can dominate or control the body or mind of another the way we control our own. Love is awareness of our oneness of beingness, not of body or attributes. Identifying ourselves as our being, which is non-physical, and becoming one with another being, is an age-old practice taught in spiritual traditions. It is also used in modern military and intelligence training, including for special operations and security personnel. The ability to experience oneness with another creature is not new or reserved to sages or psychics. We can all do it. Once we identify as a soul, we become capable of love. Before this, we were able to feel affection, but not love, because we identified the self as the body, mind, or intellect, which cannot achieve the oneness of love. When we know ourselves as beings, as souls, we know that others are also souls, and we can become aware of our unity. Our awareness of unity with someone else is completely independent of the awareness of the other person. It is not necessarily mutual. When we are aware of our identity as a soul and our oneness with others, we realize that all other people, all souls, love us too. Most of them just don't know it. People who love are content and have an inner peace and knowing, and people who don't love are less content. When we are aware of our unity with others, we are better able to see the truth and interact with them as who they are, not what we wish or fear them to be. However, loving people does not mean that we accept or condone their behavior, sympathize with their feelings, agree with their opinions, or have an obligation to them. Condemnation is rejection. It precludes unity and thus love. We might condemn someone's behavior as wrong or foolish, but we need to remember that a person, a being, is different from an action. We can condemn an action, but we have no right to condemn a soul. There is a natural progression in human development that encourages our awareness to expand from bodily pleasure to various levels of affection, and finally to love. Human beings uniquely have the ability to achieve this state of love in which we realize our oneness with everything in the universe. Perhaps this is the real goal of human life.